Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Naima Latif for On Air Daily News, Friday, September 30th, 2022. Well, our top story today, at the White House in Washington, D.C., U.S. President Joe Biden is bringing a Jewish high holiday celebration to the White House for the first time. The Biden White House is hosting a Rosh Hashanah reception today, September 30th, and as the outlet Jewish Insider reported, Rosh Hashanah is celebrated this year on September 25th to 27th. As vice president during the 2009-2017 Obama administration, Joe Biden hosted Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot receptions at the Naval Observatory, the official vice presidential residence, and he was the first vice president to do so. Bill Clinton was the first U.S. president to host a Hanukkah party for staff, and George W. Bush made it a public event for Jewish community leaders, a practice continued by Barack Obama and Donald Trump. President Obama instituted White House Passover Seders, a practice President Trump did not continue. The Biden White House last year hosted a last-minute Hanukkah menorah lighting in person, but has otherwise limited its Jewish events to virtual offerings because of the coronavirus pandemic. But last year, Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband Douglas Emhoff, the first Jewish spouse of a president or vice president, lit a menorah at a window at the Naval Observatory, another first. And this year, Kamala Harris and her husband Douglas Emhoff held a seder at their residence for family and Jewish staffers. Vice President Harris and her husband, Emhoff, are also the first executive family to affix a mezuzah to their official residence. So we will join a White House briefing announcing this celebration being held today in honor of Rosh Hashanah.
Deb, we also want to acknowledge someone else who means a great deal to our family, Rabbi Michael Beals of the Congregation of Beth Shalom in Wilmington, Delaware. And his predecessors, Rabbi Kraft and Rabbi Geffen, that's where I received my education. I probably went to shul more than many of you did. I'm kidding. I'm not. Beth Shalom is home for countless friends, and for me, it's been a home. And over the years, we've shared deep conversations about faith and finding purpose. And they've always been there for my family in the good times and not so good times. And just like rabbis, synagogues, and Jewish community centers in your hometowns, they're always there. Your congregations are there for you and for everyone in the neighborhood, whether they're Jewish or not. And that's the tradition I got raised. I spent a lot of time on practicing Catholic, but I'd go to services on Saturday and on Sunday. You all think I'm kidding. I'm not. So, look, that's the power of the Jewish community all across America. And Doug mentioned the high holidays are a sacred time for introspection and renewal and repentance. And a time to ask for forgiveness, to mend our relationships with God and with our fellow men. Late Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who passed away 2 years ago, once said that the most important lesson of the high holidays is that nothing is broken beyond repair. Nothing is broken beyond repair. It's never too late to change and to be better. I've always believed that message, and I also think it's universal. We've emerged from one of our most difficult moments in our history. I believe nothing is broken beyond repair. and there's a lot we can do to change things and bring people together. We can and we are emerging stronger from this pandemic. We're building an economy that works for everyone. We're responding to the cry of for action by the climate. We're actually rallying the world. We're rallying the world to keep support for Ukraine strong and consistent. Ukraine's right to exist as a people. You know, and we're showing that we can do big things as a country when we work together, regardless of our political party, from taking on gun violence to supporting our veterans to rebuilding America's self to ending cancer as we know it. But there's a lot more we can do, what we have to do together to restore the soul of America. When I ran, I said one of the reasons I was running literally was to restore the soul of America, bring back some decency and honor in the way we talk about one another, the way we deal with one another, standing up to anti-Semitism that is constantly lurking in the shadows. You know, the Jewish people, but my father, who was not Jewish, but would constantly use the phrase, silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. I was reminded of that yet again during my recent trip to Israel. I reaffirmed America's unshakable commitment to Israeli security. Matter of fact, the Prime Minister was telling me, he said, I remember what you said. I forgot what I said when I landed. He looked at me, he said, you looked at me, he said, it's good to be home. But, you know, the first place I went back to was with Yad Vashem. There were two Holocaust survivors there who emigrated to America after the war, but returned to that sacred ground to speak to young people so we never forget. I think that after all they experienced in the 40s, today witnessing a record high anti-Semitism in 2022, they never thought would be the case again, although maybe they did in their hearts think it could happen, but they were there. I decided to run for president, and this is not hyperbole. You know, you've heard me say this for over almost 3 years now, that when I saw those people walking out of the fields, literally walking out of the fields in Virginia, carrying torches, Nazi flags, and chanting the same exact anti-Semitic bile that was chanted on the streets of Berlin and Germany in the early 30s. When asked, when Young was killed, what do you think? And the comment made by a former leader was, they're good people on both sides. I've made it clear since I was elected, including 2 weeks ago, at the first of its kind summit against hate fuel violence at the White House. Hate can have no safe harbor. It's never defeated. It only hides. It hides under rocks. And when we breathe a little oxygen under those rocks, it comes out. It comes out. And failure to call it out is complicity, and the silence is complicity. We can't. Looks to us. That's why I established the first special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. I appointed Deborah Lipsbach, a Holocaust expert, to this critical position. She said, where are you, Deborah? All the way in the back. That's usual with her humility. Deborah, thank you for being willing to do it. And I worked with Congress to secure the largest increase in funding ever for physical security of nonprofits, including synagogues, religious organizations. Because nobody should fear going to a religious service or a school or walking down a street wearing a symbol of a faith. Nobody. Nobody. Period. We launched the first national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. And it's first of its kind White House initiative on hate-motivated violence, working hand-in-hand with the Jewish community, and many here are working with us. I'm not going to remain silent. We can't remain silent. I mean this sincerely. we let it go, democracy and everything else is at stake. We can't remain silent. So let me close with this. The Jewish tradition holds that from the time the Book of Life is opened on Rosh Hashanah until the gates close in Yom Kippur, our fate hangs in the balance. It's in our hands. It's in our hands to change, to do better to ourselves, for ourselves, and for others. I believe we face a similar inflection point as a nation. My hope and prayer for the year ahead is that open for one of the most difficult moments that we've gone through in a long time, we emerge stronger. That resilient belief in the promise of tomorrow is embodied in thousands of years of Jewish history and the story of America. So let's do the work ahead. Let's do the work together, regardless of your political persuasion. Let's recognize the work of democracy. You know, as the Talmud instructs, it's not required that you complete the work, neither may you refrain from it. It's not required you complete the work, but neither may you refrain from it. To bridge the gap between the world we see and the future we seek, to keep the faith, to remember who we are. We're the United States of America, damn it. There's nothing beyond our capacity if we do it together. So God bless you all. May this be a happy, healthy, and sweet new year, and may we all be inscribed in the Book of Life. But before I leave today, I have a special part of this program I want to mention. One things that Jill and I appreciate most about opening the White House to celebrate people who mean so much to the country. I can't think of anyone better who embodies the sacred spirit of this season than the special guest we have here today. Born in Tel Aviv, stricken by polio as a child, that's made it difficult for him to walk ever since, came to America to pursue his God-given talent that moves our souls, an Israeli-American icon of our time, one of the most celebrated violinists of our time. Please join me in the foyer to hear a special performance from Yitzhak Perlman.
President Joe Biden at the White House today. In international news, the global peace organization AWPL announced the showing of a documentary on the work of Chairman Man Hee Lee in bringing peace to the Philippines. This documentary, entitled Great Legacy, Peace Documentary, is the story of a man who turns peace into reality, and the people who walk together with him. The journey of a peace messenger who brought peace in the Mindanao Islands and the lives of those who now forever commemorate the peace that was brought to them. This is the story of how the peace that started in the Mindanao Islands is now spreading nationwide in the Philippines. The documentary will be shown Thursday, October 6th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time. That's at Classic Cinemas, Lake Theater, 1022 Lake Street in Oak Park, Illinois. This is a documentary that commemorates work that is spreading worldwide. And as we look at issues such as the war in Ukraine, there are many who are hoping for a change of heart so that peace can reign throughout the world. So we'll share a bit of information about the global work of Chairman Man Hee Lee and how this movement for peace and an end to war got started and is spreading and is changing the lives of this and future generations.
Mindanao, the Philippines, was an island marked by conflict. that lasted 4 decades and resulted in 120,000 casualties. But on January 24, 2014, political and religious leaders representing Mindanao gathered in one place. Before young people, women, and children, they signed a peace agreement at the civilian level, promising to end the conflict and cooperate for peace. This agreement built on a culture of peace, and combatants voluntarily turned in their weapons. The person who mediated such an agreement was a peace activist from the Republic of Korea. By this occasion, Mr. Manhee Lee, chairman of HWPL, became known to the international community. Here is a closer look into his peace movement. Having witnessed his comrades die as a soldier in the Korean War, Chairman Manhee Lee made it his life's mission to achieve a peaceful world without war. In 2013, he founded Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Life, and started a peace movement. HWPL is associated with the United Nations, Department of Global Communications, and the Economic and Social Council. It was established for the purpose of achieving peace and cessation of war, and leaving a peaceful world as a lasting legacy for future generations. The peace work of HWPL, Chairman Lee, is being covered by the Korean media. A series of articles titled Korean Manhee Lee, The True Story of Peace, addresses his peace movement and evidential material. The articles published until May 2021 were compiled into a 64-page long special issue. The series continues to be published. This will serve as an important source for world peace. What the special issue covers in depth is the Declaration of Peace and Cessation of War, which is a document that offers a solution for global peace. On September 18, 2014, at the HWPL World Peace Summit, leaders from around the world promised to work towards an international legal instrument on the cessation of war and bring religions together as one under God. To fulfill this promise, the HWPL International Law Peace Committee was established. Consisting of 21 renowned experts in international law, the members discussed ways to cease war and armed conflict. Then on March 14, 2016, they proclaimed to the world the Declaration of Peace and Cessation of War, a document composed of 10 articles and 38 clauses that proposes a framework for the cessation of war. Experts in international law and national leaders say that the DPCW will allow the international community to overcome the limitations of the existing international law and contribute to establishing advanced principles of peace.
Even the International Law Peace Committee members were surprised at the speed of how the DPCW was drafted. We made efforts to put Chairman Lee's intention into the declaration.
The whole world will stop wars and achieve peace through the DPCW.
The DPCW is an excellent declaration that the whole world will use as a foundation for peace.
The DPCW suggested a solution to the border issue during Guyana's independence.
We will achieve DPCW's vision and goal of eradicating violence between countries.
I hope that the DPCW will be adopted as a UN resolution and become binding international law.
The DPCW also received support from the international community. The PAP, which is the legislative body of the African Union, consisting of 55 African countries. The Center BBS, whose members are former heads of Eastern European countries. And the CCLP, comprised of former heads of Caribbean countries, promised to cooperate with HWPL. Also, Seychelles, Eswatini, Comoros, Antigua and Barbuda, and St. Vincent expressed their support for the DPCW at the national level. National leaders of Pacific Island countries signed a comprehensive agreement on the advocacy for the DPCW. And the Central American Parliament passed a resolution in support of the DPCW at a peace conference. United Nations permanent representatives of 145 countries showed their support as well. Campaigns advocating for the implementation of the DPCW are actively taking place in various sectors of society across the world. Global citizens are sending peace letters to national leaders, urging them to support the DPCW. With the support of the global community, the DPCW will write a new page of peace in history. Chairman Lee is carrying out other various peace activities as well. HWPL Peace Education is being offered at 214 educational institutions in 34 countries, training students into messengers of peace. The World Alliance of Religions Peace Office, a platform for seeking interfaith harmony and promoting peaceful interactions among religions, is operating in 256 locations in 129 countries. In September every year, the HWPL World Peace Summit is held, gathering people from around the world to discuss peace. This event is regarded as a well-organized international conference. The World Peace Summit has shown the potential to bring global citizens together under the banner of peace. Chairman Lee and his peace delegation have gone on world peace tours since 2012. Visiting 49 countries on 31 tours, they advocated for the need for the DPCW and spread a spirit of peace. Chairman Lee's visit was welcomed by leaders around the world, who promised to take part in his peace efforts transcending nationalities, ethnicities, and religions.
Chairman Lee's idea is really great. World peace will be achieved soon.
Just as Chairman Lee played a pivotal role in uniting the hearts of Muslims and Christians in Mindanao, we should spread the heavenly culture around the world so that everyone can live in harmony.
It is Chairman Lee's great achievement to motivate the youth to work for the noble purpose of world peace.
The peace movement of HWPL is effective and groundbreaking as a global exemplary case.
I am a witness who saw Chairman Lee's efforts and dedication to deliver peace to future generations.
Thanks to the efforts of HWPL, I believe that peace will be achieved in our generation.
Chairman Lee's contributions to peace are acknowledged widely. Individuals and organizations around the world have presented various gifts, awards, and certificates to Chairman Lee for his unparalleled efforts to create peace. These appreciation plaques have been received from politicians and legal professionals, cities, educational institutions, religious organizations, and more. Awards. Leaders sent him gifts as a token of appreciation. Cities and regions declared HWPL Day to celebrate HWPL's achievements. Also, many people sent letters supporting the peaceful reunification of Korea, hoping peace will take root in the peninsula. The world's media has taken notice of Chairman Lee's movement. But the series published in the Republic of Korea is a little more special. It has been published for a long period of time and was recently compiled as a special issue at the request of readers.
HWPL's achievements are quite remarkable for a non-governmental peace organization. The special report will encourage more people to join Chairman Lee's movement. Peace is coming true with HWPL. Until the day sustainable peace is established in the world, Chairman Lee's peace work will not stop.
And that is from HWPL. Look out for the HWPL Peace Education class to be available soon at the New Earth Homeschool Academy, launching soon on the platform teachable.com. In health news, blackdoctor.org, where wellness and culture connect, warn men of five ways stress affects your body. How does stress affect your body? According to the Men's Health Foundation, high stress, poor sleep and eating habits increase the risks of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, depression, and other mental illnesses in men. It can also cause low testosterone and erectile dysfunction. Men, when it comes down to it, is it really worth it? Here's what stress can also do to your body. One, you may lose hair. There are three types of hair loss that can be associated with high stress levels. Telogen effluvium is tied to a significant amount of stress and pushes large numbers of hair follicles in a resting phase. Within a few months, affected hairs might fall out suddenly when simply combing or washing your hair. Trichotillomania is another condition in which a person experiences irresistible urges to pull out hair from the scalp, eyebrows, or other areas of the body. Hair pulling can be a way of dealing with negative or uncomfortable feelings, such as stress, tension, loneliness, boredom, or frustration. And lastly, alopecia areata, in which a variety of factors are thought to cause hair loss, including severe stress. With alopecia areata, the body's immune system attacks the hair follicles, causing hair loss. Two, you may gain a gut. Stress is most definitely connected to weight gain. The high level of the stress hormone cortisol has been shown to increase appetite, drive cravings for food, and make it easier to accumulate belly fat. So in this instance, you're not only packing on the pounds, but you're also slowing down your metabolism and burning fewer calories. Number three, you may get acne. There are many causes of adult acne in men, but stress is among the most common. Stress causes an increase in the androgen hormone, which stimulates your sebaceous glands to overproduce sebum. The androgen hormone is responsible for developing male traits. You might not think having excess is a good thing, but it's not. Your body needs a balance of it. Number four, you may When we are severely stressed and anxious, high levels of adrenaline in the body can cause pressure in the eyes, resulting in blurred vision. People with long-term anxiety can suffer from eye strain during the day on a regular basis. Stress may actually be one of the major causes of eye diseases like glaucoma. And five, you may lose muscle tone. Chronic stress can throw your hormones out of balance. Persistent stress is likely to decrease the levels of anabolic hormones like testosterone and increase levels of cortisol, affect energy, and inhibit muscle development. So men, it's better to choose to just relax and stay calm. Well, that's all for today. I'm Naima Lateef for On Air Daily News. Join us again Monday when we'll bring you the latest in international, national, and local news. And until that time, we want you to enjoy the rest of your day.